This hour, we will hopefully talk with the leaders of the Republican and Democratic parties of Wisconsin on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We are 50% there, and we plan to cover quite a bit of ground this hour. First, on the home front here in Wisconsin, gun control legislation, taxes and budget spending priorities, later marijuana. What questions do you have for party chairs in Wisconsin? What do you want to know about priorities and positions? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Andrew Hitt, who is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. He was elected in April. Andrew, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Well, let's look at this special session that Governor Evers has called, formally calling the legislature to hold a session on gun violence. And the governor wants universal background checks, a red flag law. Should the legislature hold a vote on these proposals?
So I think, you know, Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald have been, you know, very clear kind of on where I think their views on this are. I think, you know, first of all, as I think about this issue, you know, these tragedies are horrific. Nobody wants to see any of them continue. But I do think we've got to be very careful about, you know, implying that there's a magic wand. And I sort of feel like sometimes the way the Democrats talk about universal background checks, the way they talk about red flag laws, that it's just going to be this magic wand.
Oh, this cure-all.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, a cure-all. And I don't. That there isn't a cure-all. People who do these things, they're not well. These are not well, healthy gun owners. And I think we really need to think about the root cause and understand what the root cause of all of this is. Obviously, there's a mental health crisis. I think we need to tackle mental health much like we've tackled the opioid crisis. It needs to be all hands on deck because, you know, this is just not what normal, healthy gun owners do. We love to hunt. We love marksmanship. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, AR-15s and all these, you know, quote-unquote high-powered rifles and weapons. But what some people don't understand is people who like to hunt, who like firearms, they love marksmanship. They like it. It's a way of life for us. And so I think we've got to be very careful about balancing the Second Amendment rights. We've got to be careful about, you know, balancing people's interests and freedoms with balancing out, you know, protecting folks in the community. But to just imply that these cure-alls will work, I think is sort of a dangerous step for Democrats, because what happens when these pass and there is another shooting?
So getting back to the special session, if Republicans oppose the proposals, why not hold a vote and reject it? Why not go on the record?
Well, I certainly am not going to second guess the strategy of the speaker and the majority leader. I think they're very not only capable politicians, but capable statesmen. I think they are going to want to make a statement with how they handle it. And one way to make a statement is to not hold a vote, to not come in and really debate this issue. And I think the argument for that would be, you know, I don't really think that this is a legitimate or authentic special session. If it was an authentic special session, there would be more here than just these two things. There would be mental health initiatives as well.
But the governor has said that because the legislature is not looking at red flag laws and is not looking at expanding background checks, that this is one way to force the hand, if you will, to get lawmakers together on these issues and force them to address these bills.
Yeah, I think that it certainly is one way to force the issue. I think, you know, if I was the governor's political advisors, I would be careful about the overreach that they are undertaking. The Democrats have had an issue with rural America for quite some time now. This is another issue that rural America is going to care about, rural Wisconsinites care about, and I think they need to be careful about overreaching and playing too far to their base, whether it be in, you know, Dane County or somewhere else in the state.
We're discussing state and national politics this hour with the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party. Andrew Hitt is here. What questions do you have for him? What do you want to ask Republicans? What do you want to know about the approach of Democrats? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email your thoughts to ideas@WPR.org. Let's look at taxes for a moment. The legislature's Republican leaders hope to pass a tax cut before lawmakers break for next year's elections. And here is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on our program this week.
And rather than just spending that on a bunch of expansions of government, of course, my priority would always be to try to find a way to return that back to the taxpayers in a prudent manner.
So, Andrew, how can Republicans weigh more tax cuts when that money could be used for schools, could be used for our crumbling roads, other issues like the opioid crisis, mental health?
So it's always a balance. You can always spend more money, no doubt. I think as Republicans, we genuinely feel that money in the taxpayers' hands is better spent that way. So I think it's always a balancing act. I think that Governor Evers talked about being in support of some tax cuts when he was running. We've seen sort of a change in position since elected. I think that this is a way to put that back on the table and see if we can't get something done for Wisconsinites in the form of some tax relief.
Well, let's take a call now. Cindy joining us from Appleton. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. Well, first of all, you talked about saying how the Democrats are appealing to their base. The Republicans don't appeal to their base? Really? But the reason I called is because you said that we have to be careful of the gun rights or the rights of gun owners. Well, what about my rights as a non-gun owner? And gun owners are in support of background checks and these red flag laws. So I don't know what you Republicans are talking about.
All right. Well, Cindy, thanks for the call. And can you address some of that? It sounds like, Cindy really wants to understand what is, why the base is supporting one thing and she's feeling another thing. What's going on there?
So I think, that, like I talked about before, there's a balancing act that has to undergo. And you have to look at specifically, when we're talking about gun rights, we have to think about things through the lens of the Second Amendment. She has rights as an individual, but we have to balance those out. And again, I think the focus on so much of the focus on guns is misplaced. I really don't think that talking about mental health is some sort of strategy to get away from guns and from the issue of guns. Like, genuinely, we have a mental health crisis. Look at the suicide rates over the last two decades. They have skyrocketed. We need to address these things.
But also, in order to, mental health, that is a big canopy there. That is a big umbrella, and it takes funding to address mental health. Do you think Republicans will put the funding there in order to develop some mental health programs and more infrastructure?
I think they definitely would consider that. I think during Governor Walker's time, there was a number of initiatives put in place. There was a number of initiatives on mental health, school mental health. I think those are good investments. We need to really consider that as we move forward.
We have Andrew Hitt here. He chairs the Republican Party of Wisconsin. On the issue of marijuana legalization, are you a Republican who supports allowing medical marijuana? Are you a Democrat who opposes recreational marijuana? What are you thinking behind your position? Do you support limiting the governor's veto powers? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We are moving through issues, covering ground with the leader of the Republican Party of Wisconsin on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Do you support limiting the governor's veto powers? Should the governor be allowed to veto legislation to effectively increase funding? Should the governor be more willing to compromise or not get his way? Your thoughts and questions for the party chair, 800-642-1234. Andrew Hitt stays with us, and he chairs the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Andrew, let's look at marijuana legislation. In the Capitol, Republicans appear divided and kind of stuck at a standstill on medical marijuana. You know, do you see any room for compromise there?
So I think that is the area in which there's still debate within the Republican Party on. You know, on the one hand, people who use medical marijuana and have, you know, talked about it across the country find that it's very helpful. It's hard, you know, for me personally to second guess those things. I'm not going through necessarily what they're going through. On the other hand, some Republicans are really worried about where it's going. And is this just a slippery slope to, you know, completely legalized, you know, marijuana use? And I think it was Majority Leader Fitzgerald, who said, you know, there's an awful lot going on around the country with marijuana laws right now. Maybe it would be wise if we just see how some of those things shake out a little bit before we jump into the fray. And I think that's a pretty reasonable position to kind of look at. We really don't know where things are headed. And, you know, for me, I actually used to be a felony drug prosecutor in Milwaukee County, so I look at it a little bit through that lens as well. But I think, we have to be very careful about making sure that people who, you know, are using marijuana in that sense, if they're users, they need to get the help that they need, as opposed to just throwing people in prison. But I think it's a tough issue that Republicans kind of go back and forth on. You know, they look at it through a couple of different lenses.
Recreational marijuana is expected to arrive in Illinois and Michigan next year. Does that help or hurt the case for access to medical or recreational marijuana here in Wisconsin?
So I think, again, that would kind of lead me a little bit down the path of let's see how it does work in Michigan. Let's see how it goes in Illinois before we jump into the fray. Folks, if they needed it, they could have some access to it by crossing the state line.
We are discussing a range of policy and election issues with the leader of the Republican Party. We have Andrew Hitt here. How do you think lawmakers should be addressing gun violence, taxes, or marijuana? Should there be more attention on health care, education, or roads? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We have a number of people here who really do want to talk about the issue of the special session on gun violence. Let's go to Jenny now in Richland Center. Hi, Jenny. Oh, Jenny is not there, has dropped. Let's try Michael in Bear Valley. Hi, Michael.
Hello. A question for your guest. The foundation for the Constitution is the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights guarantees life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. As an individual who hunts and has a gun, I feel that with the situation with young people in schools, it threatens their everyday sense of security. And we've created a situation where the types of weapons that are being used are could be considered weapons of mass destruction. Now, if you're going to balance target shooting with the kind of hideous situation that children are put in, I just don't understand it.
Michael, thanks for the call. Andrew, can you respond to that?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, one, I think we got to look at the Bill of Rights, and that's about really keeping the government in check. And so if we were going to initiate these gun laws, are we going to actually go back and confiscate or have mandatory buybacks? And if we were going to have mandatory buybacks, what if somebody doesn't turn their gun over? Is the government going to come in and knock on your door? But I think in reference to schools, that's why the initiatives put forward in the last couple of years with the school safety initiative and the school safety grants are so impactful. Me personally, I joined the school safety committee at my children's school. I have three kids in the Appleton area, all in school. The safety committee was comprised of me. I'm an attorney, a police officer, a firefighter, and the school principal. And the four of us came together, and it was really an amazing experience. We came together. We looked at. We worked with some experts in the field. We also had some expertise in police and firefighters on our committee, and we really looked at what do we need to do to secure our school. And I was actually really amazed. I think our grant was around $40,000.
And these were the grants that came out of the special session with Governor Walker, $100 million in school safety grants.
Right. Right. And we very effectively secured our school using that money. I was amazed how far that money went to secure the school. I was also really amazed that, we have school shootings, and we have a rise in discussion after a school shooting, and then it seems to taper back down again. I saw more discussion around the school with these safety grants than I ever saw around an actual school shooting. I thought
but
it was really interesting.
But that came out of Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were killed. I mean, we saw a special session right after the Parkland shooting.
Sure, sure. But my point is, around the school, there was such a continued emphasis on school safety as a result of maybe it was Parkland. It's not like, this is anecdotal, right? But there was such an emphasis on school safety that it became real for people in our school because we had access to this money. I had people, parents in our school coming up and thanking us for, writing the grant, thanking us for securing the school. It was a great experience.
Let's go to Nancy now in Madison. Hi, Nancy.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I'm a founding member of the local, the state, and the National Alliances on Mental Illness. And I want to say that as someone who's been involved for over 40 years, and as someone who, as an aside, grew up when all uncles and cousins, male, hunted, but never discussed guns and never talked about, let me show you my guns and blah, blah, blah. And now more and more, I think also including the current guest, is lumping all or almost all of these horrible things with mental health, quote unquote. Well, if we're talking mental illness, of the brain disorders, of serious and persistent mental illness, we are not talking about people who are violent. If they are appropriately treated by the evidence-based programs that we know can exist, if the world is ready to really treat people. But this business of guns, and that it should be balanced. It is unbalanced. We have concealed carry. That makes no sense. We have mass destruction guns. It makes no sense.
Nancy, I'm going to jump in here, Nancy, with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Can you help pull that apart there, Andrew?
So I think, there's a lot to dissect there. I think that I do think that we need to be, and I hope we are ready to address mental illness in this country. I think that the reference to concealed carry, I think there's only one state in the entire country now that doesn't have concealed carry, and that's the state of Illinois. I think there are a number of things to consider there. I think what I would go back to is say that I don't think the people who are doing this are well, healthy gun owners. And I think we really need to think about what the root cause of. If it's not mental health, then what is the root cause of why they are doing this? There is a cause. The gun, the firearm, is not the cause of why they're doing this. Something else is going on.
And you find that if we put more programs and dollars around these programs like the National Alliance on Mental Illness, that that might help get to some of the issues with mental health?
Correct.
We're talking with the Republican Party chair here. Andrew Hitt is with us. We're discussing issues and ideas from the base as we work through the topics of state and national politics. With you in the mix, we're looking for common ground with you at 800-642-1234. So where do you see room for Republicans and Democrats to work together? What issues are bipartisan that you think lawmakers should be addressing right now? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with Andrew Hitt, the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking with the chairs of party politics in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We've been reviewing state issues under divided government, and we will later this hour broaden out to look at upcoming races and national elections. What do you think about the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump? What questions do you have about how the parties are mobilizing voters ahead of 2020? There's room for your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We've been talking with Andrew Hitt, who chairs the Republican Party. Let's bring in Ben Wickler now, who chairs the Democratic Party and was appointed to that post in June. Ben, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Glad to have you on the line. Let's start here and continue our conversation. But let's look at veto powers for a moment. Republicans are considering, Ben, a constitutional amendment that would stop governors from using their veto powers to increase spending. Is it an abuse of executive power for a governor to, you know, delete words from a legislation and effectively increase the spending plan approved by the legislature?
It is absolutely within the governor's power to use the governor's powers. Republicans seem to have enjoyed having a powerful governor when they had the governorship. They had a number of years where Scott Walker was in power, and the governorship had a tremendous amount of power in Wisconsin. And then suddenly, when voters decided to choose a governor from the Democratic Party, there was a time for a special session to move powers away from the governor. And now, when the governor used the powers still afforded to him in this budget process, suddenly it's time to remove more power. I think this has more to do with who's actually the person sitting in the governor's chair rather than what the Constitution allows the governor to do. I think for future governors of both parties, we're well served by a governor in a state where increasingly power is now concentrated in the hands of the Speaker of the State Assembly, who in this case got 16,000 votes. I think we're well served by having a governor who can represent the people of the entire state who voted to put him or her perhaps in some future year into office.
Andrew, do Republicans only oppose this veto power now because a Democrat is governor?
Well, I understand the argument. I think that, you know, knowing Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald, I think if Governor Walker would have used his veto pen the way Governor Evers did, I think they would have similar complaints and similar concerns. I think this is really about separation of powers. The veto pen in Wisconsin has always been very powerful. I think it's one of the, if not the most powerful veto pen in the country. Governor Thompson was pretty famous for using that veto pen.
Thompson.
Yep, okay. Governor Tommy Thompson. And he even said not too long ago that he thought perhaps Governor Evers went a little bit far here.
The state Supreme Court, Andrew, is also considering the governor's veto powers in response to a lawsuit. Would you support the Supreme Court limiting the governor's veto powers, or should that decision ultimately rest with voters through a constitutional amendment?
Yeah, I think if the Supreme Court is going to look at it, I think they need to interpret the law as it is written now. Conservatives have talked extensively about not making policy decisions in the courts. So I would, regardless of the outcome, I would say that the Supreme Court should interpret the law as written. If there are policies that need to be changed or that they think are concerning, they can certainly put that in their opinion. It's not uncommon. Justice David Prosser often would write in a concurrence to say, I think the legislature ought to take a look at it. And so if that's the case here, I would say that that's what they should do. They should not overreach and legislate, if you will, from the bench.
Ben Wickler, what do you think of this lawsuit brought by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty?
So, unfortunately, I share Chairman Hitt's view that the role of the Wisconsin Supreme Court should be to act as an arbiter of the law and of our state's constitution. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of legislating from the bench, especially recently with a majority of state Supreme Court justices who have worked in Republican politics, often in the Walker administration. So while I would hope that they would interpret the law as written, unfortunately, I think we've been trained to expect something less than that at this point. But I will hold that hope. And as a civic Wisconsinite, I'd like to see the state legislature reflect on the intention of our founders and the intentions of generations of Wisconsin lawmakers and governors who all had the opportunity to review the way that our veto works and make adjustments over time. We have a situation now where the governor was elected on a mandate of supporting public education and strong public schools with overwhelming support on those issues, proposed an increase in public school funding that had tremendous public support. People were marching all over the state. There actually a school district was closed in Palmyra because of the lack of funding. And the folks from that school district came and marched to the Capitol this spring. And Republicans, and Scott Walker was also running on an increase in public education funds. And then Wisconsin Republicans in the state legislature, they heard the call but decided to cut out a whole bunch of the education funding that the governor proposed. So he restored some of it through his veto hen. That was, frankly, an exercise in democracy. And I expect that that's how the Supreme Court will view it. Or I would expect that if they didn't have such a history of lining up with, along with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is a Republican partisan operation, they often sort of line up along the partisan line of the GOP.
We're discussing state and national politics this hour with the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican and Democratic parties, Andrew Hitt. Ben Wickler here. What questions do you have for the state party leaders? What do you want to ask Republicans? What do you want to ask Democrats? Join in 800-642-1234 with your questions and thoughts. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Tim now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hello. I have a quick statement. I think one of the biggest issues in politics right now is polarization, finding common ground that Republicans and Democrats can agree to. So I have a challenge for both of the gentlemen on the call, and that would be to once a month get together for dinner, with the one big rule being leave your talking points at home.
Oh, I thought the one big rule would be leave the kids at home.
It'd be more interesting if we brought the kids.
I would say it would even be better if they did one big family dinner.
All right,
maybe
we're talking play date now.
So, actually, I don't disagree with Tim. Ben and I got a chance to meet really for the first time in September when we did the WISC Politics Luncheon. I think both of us were trying and interested to get together before that, but schedules just didn't get there. But we got along great at WISC Politics, and Ben is certainly somebody that I think that I can talk with. And over the years, my understanding is the Republican chair and the Democrat chair have always had a bit of a relationship, kind of a back channel phone call and get together. And certainly I'd be more than happy to do that.
Well, it's interesting, Ben. You know, some of this does come down to relationship building and knowing your colleagues, whether you are a lawmaker in the Capitol, whether you are in the parties, that you have to keep those communication lines open.
Absolutely. And I also warmly welcome the idea of getting together more often. I think our wives and our kids might have something to say about having it be every month, but if we figure out a way to do it, I'd love to do it. And I look forward to introducing our families. One thing that's unusual right now, Andrew and I both have young children, and you know we're in the kind of busy middle phase of our lives, and I think figuring out how to make sure that we can build human relationships across the aisle and throughout the state at the same time is really important. Often our politics goes from being where it should be, which is a conversation about the values and the issues that people disagree about and finding the common ground and where they overlap, into being a politics of personal destruction, where people go after each other based on, you know, attacking each other's character, essentially, rather than trying to find the way to move forward on the issues that matter in people's lives. And I think, I'd invite folks listening right now to do the same thing that Andrew and I think really enjoy doing, which is connecting across party lines and finding the areas where we do disagree and finding each other's humanity. I think we'll be better off as a society if more of us do that.
Let's quickly look here before break at the 7th Congressional District. Ben, Republicans urged the governor to reschedule a special election for the 7th District, the seat vacated last month by Congressman Sean Duffy. Last week, the governor moved the primary to mid-February, the runoff to May 12th. Do you support these dates for the special election?
I do. The key thing for the special election, the initial dates were chosen to try to get representation as soon as possible. We learned that our state and federal laws were in conflict. There was a change in federal laws. We changed our state election laws during the Walker era to comport with federal law for our fall elections, but there was no change in the special election law. So we learned that, and the governor made this adjustment. This puts the primary on the same date. The 7th Congressional District has 26 counties. And all those counties now won't have to do an additional primary in the middle of winter. The primary for the congressional election will be lined up with the statewide spring primary on February 18th. And then the general election will be held in May, which is the soonest time it can be held according to federal law.
Quickly, Andrew, do you support the special election dates that Governor Evers picked?
No, I don't. I think it should occur. The general elections should line up. I think we heard Governor Evers say, justifying the first date as we want to get it done as soon as possible. Now it's being kicked to May. I think that we should get it as soon as possible, and they should line up on the generals.
We're spending the hour with Andrew Hitt and Ben Wickler. They chair the Republican Democratic Party of Wisconsin, respectively. What is your reflection on the years of Republican Party control in state government? What can the GOP do to improve or extend that leadership? What do you think Democrats should be doing to win more elections? What suggestions do you have for the chair of the state's Democratic Party? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back with Andrew Hitt and Ben Wickler in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We are on a tour of issues with the chairs of the Democratic and Republican parties of Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So what do you think about the House impeachment inquiry against President Trump? Do you support impeachment proceedings? On the 2020 elections, do you think Wisconsin is ground zero for the 2020 presidential race? Do you see your county as a bellwether? What do you want the party chairs to know about mobilizing voters in your community? Join in at 800-642-1234. Andrew Hitt is chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. They both stay with us through the hour. Let's go back to the phones now. Paul is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Hi. I was just a comment. Based on the Republicans' response to the veto pen power that had Governor Walker also been misusing it, they would have taken the same types of actions. My question or comment is, prior to Governor Evers even taking office, but immediately after he won the election, the Republicans seem to have assembled in order to limit his powers before he even took any action. So that seems to me to be somewhat political in motivation.
I think Paul is getting at the lame duck session and the actions by Republicans. What can you say there?
The actions that the Republicans took were completely constitutional. The courts agreed with it. And yes, I suppose it was political, but it was constitutional. And, you know, I don't think there was any issues that I see with those policy decisions that they made during that time. There's many, many instances of special sessions occurring after an election. If our system was such that the transfer of power occurred a couple days after election and the Republicans took that and changed that to January, then I would get his argument. But they took the opportunity to make policy decisions when they were lawfully, legally still in place. That was their prerogative to do it.
Ben Wickler, since the lame duck laws were enacted, how do you see year-to-date Governor Evers and the Democrats functioning within those laws?
You know, just because you find that you can do something and it's being debated in court about whether it is constitutional or those fights have continued, but just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And this is the first time that a special session was used to remove powers that voters had just elected someone in order to wield. The public had an ample try of what it was like under Scott Walker. Turnout was up on both sides of the vote, and voters chose Governor Evers to be the governor of the state of Wisconsin and Josh Hall to be our attorney general. And then the legislature did something that it had never done before, which is to move powers away that voters had just entrusted them with. It has been a challenge. It's been different. And some of the laws that they proposed in the lame duck are just unworkable. I think we saw one example of this. We saw Attorney General Call negotiating, as we can see from the public record, negotiating settlements for major settlements that could bring significant revenue to the state of Wisconsin. And according to the lame duck laws, he needed to go to the Joint Finance Committee of the legislature to get them read in and to approve any settlement before it could be finalized. And they refused initially to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Now, these negotiations often come down to the wire. They're extremely sensitive and private. And, the moment passed as Republicans were finding a lawyer who could sign on their behalf. And there was this constant toing and froing for something that absolutely in any other legal setting, you can't imagine having to go and ask for permission from some other committee that hadn't been party with the negotiations all along to get them to go over everything with a partisan lens and decide whether they agree or not. It's just not good governance. And there's a reason why no other state in the country, and as far as I know, no government in the world, has executives who then have to ask for permission from a small number of legislators to do things that are obviously executive functions.
We're talking with the leaders of Wisconsin's Democratic Party and Republican Party as we look at state politics, we look at national issues here. Ben Wickler with the Democratic Party, who was just talking, Andrew Hitt, who is in studio here, the Republican Party chair. Let's go to Crystal now in La Crosse. Crystal, hi.
Hi. So I've been listening for about 25 minutes now. My comment is I have a friend who's very, very conservative. I tend to be kind of a liberal moderate. And we find that we agree probably on 80% to 90% of the issues, education, stability, healthcare, et cetera. I've been listening 25 minutes, and I've not heard either one of these gentlemen comment on anything they agree on. It's Republicans this, Democrats that, Republicans this, Democrats that. And I think the issue is the majority of us are really getting tired of that. We want to hear you talking about what you agree on, what you're going to do for us, instead of constantly discussing what you don't agree on. And I'll just take this off the air. Thank
Crystal,
you.
Crystal, thanks. Andrew Hitt, what do the parties agree on? Where do you find that common ground right now?
I think there's probably a lot of things that we could agree on. I think one of them, Ben and I haven't had a chance to talk about this really, but I think criminal justice reform is probably one of them. The First Step Act was passed in Congress and signed by President Trump. Major, major criminal justice reform that was done bipartisan. I think that is an area that we could parlay into other reforms and agree on because we really need to focus on making sure that people are productive members of society, whether they have served prison, coming out of prison, that they can be productive, they're trained, they have opportunities in front of them. I think that's something, along with other things, that I think we could all agree on.
And Ben, how about for you? Where do you see, some areas where you and Republicans really find that common ideas?
I think criminal justice reform is a terrific example. In general, there's a kind of rule of thumb that lawmakers agree on 80% of things, and the public conflict is on the other 20%. Politics is the art of the compromise in terms of lawmaking, but then we have elections on the things where people aren't on the same page. So, I think Andrew and I and the caller and the caller's friend, but we probably all agree on most of the things that are affecting people's daily lives, and ultimately elections are waged on the 20% of things where it's tougher to find common ground. There are a lot of issues where public opinion is broadly united, where in fact most Republicans and most Democrats agree, but for one reason or another, the parties aren't able to find agreement.
Well, let's quickly change gears here to the 2020 election, the presidential race. I would assume that as party chairs, both of you are working pretty aggressively on a ground game and mobilizing voters. Andrew Hitt, people are saying that Wisconsin will be a bellwether. What are you seeing out there and among your base?
Yeah, I think absolutely the road to the White House for the president runs through Wisconsin. I think most people agree on that. So the president needs to win Michigan, Pennsylvania, or Wisconsin. If we look at kind of the map as it is now, I think Wisconsin is where it's at. So we have, acted accordingly or reacted accordingly. We've started earlier than we ever have before on organizing. Generally, we would bring staff on and start to really staff up in February of the election year. We brought our state director on for this presidential campaign the last week of July. We have over a half dozen regional field directors in place with only a few more to hire. We have field organizers already hired and in place. Rather than just kind of in the planning stage, in the thinking stage, we have people on the ground. We have people recruiting volunteers. We have people training volunteers.
And Ben Wickler, what does the infrastructure look like for Democrats?
Democrats have been building a on-the-ground neighborhood team-based and county-based field operation continuously since the spring of 2017. The big lesson we learned from 2016 is that you can't show up in the last few months and try to build a campaign from scratch. So this time we're doing it differently, and our enormous amount of grassroots energy played a critical role in the 2018 elections. We are looking to build and extend that even further for 2020.
Ben Wickler and Andrew Hitt are chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Thank you both for being here. They joined us this hour. If you missed part of the conversation, you can stream or download it later today on our program page at WPR.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.